Okay, let's hit it. A lot to talk about. What we're going to do this hour will be a little bit complex, but not so much. Just using terms that aren't often used on the internet. We talk about them here, these terms, but we want you to, like, leaky vaccines and things. We want to make some things real clear, and we've got some excellent source material to do just that. Hi, Erica. Welcome back.
Hi, Jeff. Good to be back. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so we have a number of things that we want to present in this hour. Dr. Peter McCullough on the threat of new, highly virulent vaccine-generated strains of SARS-CoV-2. Now, yes, we're talking about variants, so we better get used to that, because we're going to hear a lot about variants. There was one yesterday named Centaurus. Centaurus?
Yeah.
Was that yesterday? I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, here's a little excerpt. I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to ask Erica to decode it and unpack it for us. I promised I'd never use unpack. Oh, well. I don't like to use terms other people use. But it fits. Okay. Now, rather than leaky vaccine, we're going to use a new term here. It's in the paper. It's called imperfect vaccination. All right? And the title of the paper, I'm not going to read the whole thing, I just one paragraph of it. Imperfect vaccination can enhance the transmission, shedding, spreading, transmission of highly virulent pathogens. Imperfect vaccination, leaky vaccines, can enhance the transmission of highly virulent pathogens. Now, I have to get real close to the screen here and use my magnifying glass because this is very tiny. All right. The plausibility of this idea, hereafter called imperfect vaccine hypothesis or leaky vaccine hypothesis, has been confirmed with mathematical models. Efficacy and mode of action are key. If the vaccine is sterilizing so that transmission is stopped, no evolution can occur. But if it is non-sterilizing so that naturally acquired pathogens can transmit from immunized individuals, what we hereafter call a leaky vaccine, virulent strains will be able to circulate in situations in which natural selection would have once removed them. Thus, anti-disease vaccines, those reducing in-host replication or pathogenicity, have the potential to generate evolution harmful to human and animal well-being. Infection or transmission blocking vaccines do not. Note that the possibility, I should read that again. Thus, anti-disease vaccines, those reducing in-host replication or pathogenicity, have the potential, these are anti-disease vaccines, they have the potential to generate evolution harmful to human and animal well-being, infection or transmission blocking vaccines do not. Note that the possibility of vaccine-driven virulence evolution is conceptually distinct from vaccine-driven epitope evolution, that's antigenic escape, in which variants of target antigens, evolve because they enable pathogens that are otherwise less fit to evade vaccine-induced immunity. The evolution of escape variants has been frequently observed. Okay, this has to do with the competence of a vaccine. Just keep it to that and you'll be okay. They're leaky, they're not competent. They don't do what they're supposed to do, or maybe they're doing exactly what they were supposed to do. So, Peter McCullough responds very briefly to this. He says, Reed et al., 2015, PLOS, anticipates the current situation. When they do not stop transmission and still forced on a massive population, there is big trouble. Antigenic escape means virus eludes the induced antibodies. Antigenic escape means virus eludes the induced antibodies. So your immune system has created antibodies to go after the invading virus, but they elude it. Driven virulence means it mutates to cause even worse illness. So this is not as complicated as it sounds, but that's what McCullough had to say. All right, young lady, translate.
Well, that's something that we've talked about way back, before these things rolled out. I mean, there's always been a school of thought. I don't even know if it's thought. It's fairly established that vaccines drive virulence. They put selective pressure on a virus to mutate, just like antibiotics do with bacteria. So, you know, it's no surprise that we're seeing this now, particularly with these so-called vaccines, which really are not vaccines. They're protein expression vectors, transfection, gene transfection platforms, which require the immune system to be down-regulated, at least for a time, so that it produces this protein, the spike protein in this case, and whatever else they've coded into it.
Down-regulating, meaning reduced functionality.
It's turning it off. It's crippling it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and we don't even know how long that lasts.
No.
But it appears to last long enough to create a susceptibility to all kinds of things, not just the coronavirus or the SARS-CoV-2 virus, but all kinds of things.
You got it. Cancer everywhere. That's
well, and then the T cells are becoming depleted. And the antibodies, which come from B cells, are being generated for a virus that now is changing its coat, so to speak. It's changing its appearance, so the immune system doesn't see it. So these antibodies that you've created are pretty much useless.
Stealth viruses can't be seen. Wow.
This is a disaster every way you look at it. And now these people, they've disabled the part of their immune system, the cytokines and chemokines that produce fever and the unpleasant symptoms that you get
now,
when you're...
this is really, excuse me, this is really important. I want you to listen to this. We're talking about everyone who's gotten a legitimate shot, a bioweapon injection. Everyone is suffering basically from one degree or another, exactly this immuno-incompetence that is forced on them. Their immune system doesn't work right. Now, what she's saying is really very important. Go ahead. Start again.
So the part of the immune system that produces these symptoms of fever and weakness, lethargy, is
coughing, sniffling,
disabled.
Runny nose,
well,
sore throat,
symptoms
whatever.
You get when your body is trying to sequester something.
Fight something, yeah.
Inflammation, fever, all that part of it is turned off in favor of producing antibodies. So what happens is these people can harbor a replicating virus and not have it produce symptoms and spread it to whoever. We carry it to, I mean, the...
Because your immune system's not producing the symptomatic response.
Yeah, you don't know that you're harboring this thing. Yes.
No.
And meanwhile,
I feel fine. I feel fine.
Right.
I feel great.
Right.
No problem. No symptoms.
And remember, that was the marketing feature of this. It would reduce the severity of the symptoms. You wouldn't get the high fever and everything else that went along with it.
Of course
not.
Well,
they
accomplished
your immune
system.
Now you've got you truly do have asymptomatic spread of this thing. And at the same time, generating escape mutants. So, yeah, there's going to be, I mean, many people are predicting this now. Within a period of time, maybe a couple weeks, months, this virus is going to morph into some serious threat. It's going to be very, very fast. The rumor has it that it will be able to evade both a T-cell and a B-cell response, and if that's the case...
It's over.
That's lethal. I mean, that's SCIDS. That's severe combined immunodeficiency syndrome.
See, they already have AIDS. Now they're going to roll into SCIDS.
I mean, when you lose your T-cells and your B-cells or the ability to, or if a virus can evade that's bad news.
This really has the potential to be, it could conceivably, if it were left unchecked, and we do believe they have an antidote, or they wouldn't have let it loose. But as we look at it now, at least in a one- or two-dimensional sense, it does have the potential to be an extinction-level event.
Yeah, I have no compunction in saying that. Yep.
Damn. I tell everyone, I tell all of you, every week, it seems like we find out something else. And we have been talking about this very thing for a long, long time. This is not new to us, but now it's popping up here and there on the internet, probably close to a year after we first pushed it, tried to make it known. So there you go.
That
was an excellent description. That was very good. Yeah.
Just bear in mind that from what they're saying, there's no real immunity to this because it's changing so rapidly. So just because you've had it once doesn't mean you can't become reinfected with another strain of it.
No, you will not have naturally conferred immunity having gotten through one round of whatever it is you happen to run into because it's changing. And that's what they knew this.
Yeah.
They knew all this.
Yeah.
So we got, what the hell is it? There's two new versions, 4.5 and 5.0 or something. I can't remember which.
There's, was it the BA5 and there's BA2.5? That's the Centaurus.
Right. Fun with names, too. Don't forget that.
Oh, it's keeping people's heads spinning.
Look what a centaur is. Look it up. If you know your Greek mythology, you'll know what a centaur is. okay, that I hope is clear. To keep it as simple as I can, if your immune system is shut down to a substantial degree, you will no longer produce symptoms of being infected, even though you're infected and carrying. I feel fine. And yet you're spreading any one of these variants. This was all designed. This is how insidious and bastardly this is. It's inhuman. It's demonic.
Yep.
And nobody is saying it. I mean, we are. I mean, they're saying it sometimes in roundabout ways, but they will not come to the punchline. They keep calling these, I'm talking about most of the visible doctors and scientists that are talking, they keep calling these vaccines. They're not.
They're not. They're not vaccines at all, no.
Damn. All right.
You know, now we're finding out that there's more than a few patented sequences in these things and things that...
Oh, yes.
You know, unknown proteins or the codes for unknown proteins in these, or some of them are known and some of them are designed to target proteins having to do with fertility.
Oh, yes. Well, they go after the spleen, the liver, and the ovaries.
Right.
That's where there's reverse transcriptase right there. And so they induct this into your genome. And that's not supposed to happen. They said it wouldn't happen. They lied.
At least with Moderna, if we can believe this whistleblower, that there is a protein in there to actually activate the reverse transcriptase so that this mRNA does get integrated into the genome.
I believe that is probably quite accurate, and I am not a scientist, but just judging by how this is rolling out, it's bad. And again, people out there, some of you wonderful people all around the world, what can I do to protect myself? What can I do to protect my family? Well, if you've already taken the injection or injections, now maybe if you just took one shot and you got real lucky and got a placebo, you're going to be okay. Unless you start hanging around with the vaxxed and they start dumping on you and you inhale it and you've got spiked. So that's not good. So your best bet, and I will say it again, we've said this a long time now, stay away from the vaxxed as much as you can. If you have to go into a crowded environment with them, wear a mask. It's not perfect, but it's better than nothing. And if you can afford to get one of those little personal units on the banner on the homepage, it's a little white unit about the size of a pack of cigarettes. It will help. It creates a stream of positive and negative ions, which go looking for their magnetic polar opposites, such as proteins, and it clings onto them and drags them right down to the ground. So have an area around you that is theoretically, relatively, I won't call it completely clear, but I'll say it's damn much better than not having it. So a lot of people are wearing them now. Okay, let's go ahead and hear from Dr. Michael Yeadon. Dr. Yeadon was formerly the director of science. I've seen several different ways of stating his title. Formerly the director of science for Pfizer.
Yeah, I think R&D for...
R&D.
He's a toxicologist or something else, but, you know, very accomplished and fairly high up in the organization.
Brilliant man. Yeah, way up there. And he has gone totally public. He is in absolute earnest when he speaks. And we're going to hear 3 minutes with Dr. Michael Yeadon now. Here we go.
I remember once I worked out that something seriously off was going on in 2020. And I heard a discussion. I overheard a discussion somewhere between FDA, a European Medicines Agency, and the Japanese Medicines Agency. Those three had an initial informal conversation, and they said this. They said, we anticipate in the future there might be a need to make adjusted variant COVID-19 vaccines. And if the drug companies should do that, the position we anticipate taking is to say that because there's amended vaccines are so similar to the first generation vaccines from each company, we won't expect them to do, you know, new clinical trials or indeed any clinical trials. And so when I heard that, I'm afraid my conclusion was, so that's why they've used genetic vaccines that have never been used before. It's because they've got an intended purpose for them. And I'm afraid I'll just talk in the camera. They just voted on it last week. There's no requirement for any safety efficacy studies in humans from these variant vaccines, which means a drug company's computer, they can form any code they damn well like, press alt print, manufacture a billion doses of something that FDA is not going to check, and then stick it in a billion arms. So if, as like me, you conclude that whatever's going on and whoever's doing it, they are completely malign, you know, and evil. There's no possible good side to this whatsoever. If you thought that it might be possible that this group had in mind to reduce the human population, I could not find a kind of cleverer, more easily deniable, plausible deniability they'll have till the end. So people like me, they'll just ignore me. But so I predicted at the end of 2020, they will bring about variant vaccines. They will have got approval from the drug regulator not to have to test them, and then they'll stick them in people. And I'm afraid that it's easy to... I remember one afternoon in about 2 hours, I came up with three or four ways of poisoning people in a way that you would not be able to detect it. So right. I could do something that would augment tumors and make them run away. You know, I could put a promoter gene. I could put a promoter to a promoter gene. So you would get no acute toxicity, but sometime in the next period, 6 months or a year, you would have a plethora of different tumors.
Mutations, exactly.
Yeah, which you could blame on whatever crap is going on in the world, and you could just lie about what's going on in the world.
Right.
And I could find it easy to, again, come up with things that would cause neurological damage by altering neurotransmitters, the enzymes for that. Easy, really easy. It's always been 10 to 100 times easier to hurt people by accident than to produce clinical benefit. And that...
Okay, the word that didn't ring for a lot of you, he said chimeras, and he was saying chimeras, but he's got a CH sound in there that I think we're not used to hearing at all. You got that, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to back it up, play the last 25 seconds or so here. It's important. Chimera is chimera. Just define chimera for us, please.
It's a hybrid, and presumably
it's
in this case, a virus of some sort that, you know, it's
right.
Two different viruses that have had some recombination event.
And he sat down and figured out, what did he say, 6 different ways he could kill people with chimeras?
Poison people, yes. Yeah.
6 months later, they'd come down with all kinds of things and die.
Yeah.
No way to trace it. See, this man is a genius, and he's admitting and stating and imploring people to understand that this so-called vaccine is not. It's a death sentence. And for those of you out there listening,
it was obvious by now.
You would have. For those of you out there who have been vaccinated or listening, you know we care about you. We know this is not pleasant to talk about or even to hear. And a lot of you don't believe it, and that's fine. I'm very glad you're here listening. And you need to stay away from the unvaxxed. Why? Because your immune system is downregulated, and the normal people who are not vaxxed are carrying normal pathogenicity with them at all times. And you can pick that up, and you have no means of generating any symptoms anymore, and you could be taken down so fast. And that's why cancer is popping up, and people, I had no idea. I was fine. And they told me I had leukemia, or they told me I had cancer of this or that. And they're dead in a month. This is really incredible.
Really fast. I had a friend recently, one of these people I know, that's got his fourth.
But can I ask you to hold that? Let me just replay this a little bit, and then
okay.
We'll move on. All right, thank you. Here's Mike Eden. He says chimeras, but it's chimera, meaning hybrid.
I have to test them, and then they'll stick them in people. I'm afraid that it's easy to... I remember one afternoon, in about 2 hours, I came up with 3 or 4 ways of poisoning people in a way that you would not be able to detect it. So
right.
I could do something that would augment tumors and make them run away. You know, I could put a promoter gene. I could put a promoter to a promoter gene. So you would get no acute toxicity, but sometime in the next period, 6 months or a year, you would have a plethora of different tumors.
Mutations, exactly.
Yeah, which you could blame on whatever crap is going on in the world, and you could just lie about what's going on in the world.
Right.
And I could find it easy to, again, come up with things that would cause neurological damage by altering neurotransmitters, the enzymes for that. Easy, really easy. It's always been 10 to 100 times easier to hurt people by accident than to produce clinical benefit. And that...
Okay, so... If all of you out there are understanding this, I'm sure all of you are, the deep state here in the U.S. and the international globalists can kill anyone, anytime, anywhere they want to. There are many different ways to do it, and that's just... He just explained how easy it is from his perspective as a biological scientist. Never mind satellites. Never mind frequencies to create cancer. They've got that. They've got it all. Okay.
Yeah.
Onward.
I was just going to point out that one of these people I know that's now on their fourth dose of this poison, with apparently no ill effect, says he's fine. But the one clue he gave me that things may not be okay is he says, I never get sick anymore. I used to, catch colds all the time, and now he hasn't had a symptom of a cold since he started these shots. Now, I would take that as an indication that you've shut off that portion of your immune system that produces those symptoms to fight infection. It's not uncommon. I've mentioned this before, that people that come down with cancer, one of the common things they say is, I don't understand how I got it. I haven't had a cold in years. I haven't been sick in years. That's because that part of the immune system's turned off. That's the innate immune response, the cell-mediated immune response, the things that go, right. The portion of it that controls for cancer and weeds out dead and mutated cells. You need a fever to get rid of that stuff.
No, parents are frightened of fevers.
I know.
Crazy. That's Rockefeller medicine.
Yep. Treat the symptom.
Tour de France, the cyclists over there, again, athletes at the peak of their careers, quitting the race because their lungs are all messed up, they say, and they're having chest problems, and they're done. They've gotten shot up. They're done. Okay. So we've got another story out, and I haven't read this one yet. The absolute terrifying truth about this new monkeypox pandemic, written by Michael Snyder. I might not have paid attention to it. The monkeypox is still around, but the total number of cases in the U.S., 2,000-something now? I don't think much more than that.
I don't think it's that much. I thought it was... Well, maybe it is. Okay.
Let's see.
But they're having these pop-up clinics now in New York City and other major metropolitan areas, and they very quickly outstrip the supply. I mean, the demand outstrips the supply.
Let me see.
People are racing to get that one.
Get that shot.
Do we honestly know what's in it?
No idea. In the U.S. All right, let's see what it says here. Number of cases in the U.S.
I know it was about 12,000.
266 in California. How many confirmed cases of monkeypox in the U.S.? 605 cases in 34 states. That's it. Confirmed.
That's not very many.
No, but the World Health Organization is sounding the alarm. The fear porn gong is being banged upon routinely.
Well, they've created a situation where people are more than willing to take a vaccine, or I should say an injection. We don't really know what's in it. I mean, if it's what they say it is, it's a attenuated vaccinia virus, not supposed to replicate. But according to Gerrit van den Bosch, because it's a vaccinia virus, it's in the pox family, the orthopox family, and it's somewhat related to monkeypox and smallpox, so it's presumably protective against those viruses. But van den Bosch is saying, no, don't count on it. Because the way the immune system responds to this attenuated vaccinia virus, it's only making an immune response against the exterior of the virus, and because it's not replicating, it doesn't really see the guts of the virus or the replication portions of it. So it's not likely that if these people do encounter monkeypox, that they're really going to be protected.
Attenuated meaning... Weakened,
yes.
Okay. All right. A lot of people, says Michael Snyder, about the monkeypox, are downplaying this new pandemic. And I believe that's a huge mistake. If a smallpox outbreak had suddenly erupted, everybody would be totally freaking out. But the general public doesn't seem very alarmed about monkeypox, even though it is very closely related to smallpox. According to the official CDC website, monkeypox is part of the same family of viruses as variola virus, which you just heard Erica say, the virus that causes smallpox, etc. So he's thinking that it's too close and there could be an easy morph and then we've got a new form of smallpox.
Sequenced these strains of monkeypox that are circulating now.
They're different.
There's a couple different strains, but at least one of them had inserts in it from simian encephalitis or hemorrhagic encephalitis virus.
And how
so
did
it looks
that
like
get
it
there?
Well, good question.
Took the wrong turn at the corner and all of a sudden it's new.
I mean, those are some indications that it could be a lab-generated construct.
Right. Okay. Now, here's the big deal. The world was promised by Pfizer and Moderna and J&J and AZ and whatever, that these, forgive me, vaccines would not change or become permanently part of the human genome. So they promised us. Well, there's a video out, and it's up there somewhere. I think it's in the archive. Did humankind just have its genome poisoned? More doctors demand an investigation. All right, I want to play a little bit of this. No, 8 or 9 minutes of it. There's several different doctors you will hear, and they're trying to get the word out. McCullough, I don't know if it... We got Nagase, McCullough, Stephanie Seneff, and I think those are the three in this section. First 8 minutes, anyway. Let's find out. All right, here we go.
A little bit about the study that just came out of Sweden that is just so alarming.
The news is buzzing out of Lund University.
This is McCullough, Peter McCullough talking.
In Malmo, Sweden, Marcus Alden is the first author. The first demonstration in a human hepatic or liver cell line that the Pfizer vaccine in fact reverse transcribes and installs DNA into the human genome.
Wow. And so in simple terms, what does that mean, Dr. Bartlett?
Basically, there's an enzyme that can take that messenger RNA vaccine information and put it into the DNA of the person, into their DNA.
Mm.
And we were told that could not happen. So this is in a lab, but it's showing
really?
That you remember the vaccine is messenger RNA.
Yeah.
And we were told that messenger RNA could not go into your DNA. But this is showing that in a lab it can.
And so what happens when it does?
If something is...
Okay, let's stop right there. So, lie, another lie exposed. It's all been a lie. We've all been played. And in many cases, we've been played in a very fatal, terminal way.
I would say so.
5 billion people injected with this shit?
Yeah. And I would say, I mean, there's all this talk about changing the DNA, and that could happen. It's not as easy as they're making it out to be, to have this perpetuate down through the germline. Can it happen? Yeah, it could. Is it a concern? Yep. But I think the more immediate concern is when this stuff integrates into a person's DNA, you don't know where it's going in. And if it's in the area of an oncogene, meaning a cancer-causing, cancer-promoting gene, that's bad news. And I think that's one of the reasons we're seeing this explosion of cancer. And this was known. I mean, this is just common knowledge for these transfection technologies. When you can't control where this stuff integrates into the DNA, there's a very good chance it's going to be in the vicinity of an oncogene or a tumor suppressor gene or a promoter, and you've got cancer.
A lot of it apparently is soft tissue cancer, a little harder to notice.
Yeah, I just heard of an acquaintance whose husband, got the shots and was just operated on for a tumor that appeared in his shoulder. And at the time, I didn't know what their VAC status was, so I asked, did he get the shots? Yes. I said, well, it's probably an injection site tumor.
There was a paper out about that, wasn't there, recently,
yeah,
saying injection site cancers? Yeah.
Surprisingly common all of a sudden.
So, lies, endless lies, dirty, damned lies, horrible lies. And yes, children are dying now because of the trials and these lunatic parents that are getting their kids shot up. I shouldn't call them lunatics, but they're not doing their homework. They're listening to the doctors and not looking online and not doing any real research. I just, it's mind-boggling. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Dr. Daniel Nagase, continuing the conversation about changing your genome.
If something is reverse transcribed and alters the DNA of a sperm or an egg, that DNA change, if that sperm or egg survives and turns into a human being, lasts forever. The entire human genome has been poisoned with a gene that has never been in the human genome ever in history.
Pfizer, given that physiological concentration...
Okay, I'm going to move past this next little piece. And here's McCullough again.
Products on a mass scale that change the human genome or have the possibility to change the human genome. It should never be done.
If you're pregnant and you have this done, can that then affect your baby?
Yes, see, this is an alarming finding. The CDC says on its website very explicitly, this will not change your DNA. The paper that came out of Sweden, now there'll be many more to confirm it, and the steps are to A, confirm it, to confirm that the entire code is installed, and then to actually confirm that it's expressed, meaning that the spike protein now is continuously expressed from human cells. But because the lipid nanoparticles are taken up everywhere, that means somatic cells in your organs, but also your gametocytes, actually the cells that actually are the sperm and the egg, if they are carrying it, that indeed means that, in fact, it could be passed to the daughter cells.
They showed that within 6...
Okay, here's Stephanie Seneff. It's a little bit high science, but she's very listenable. So this, you heard what McCullough said, and we've been saying this for probably close to a year and a half now, maybe more, that the cells of your body are being reprogrammed to produce only the spike protein and not the thousands and tens of thousands of other proteins that the various cells and cell types in your bodies would normally produce. So you're SOL on that. You got no more.
Not to mention
spike
it's proteins. A toxic protein.
Totally, and biologically.
You're poisoning
active.
Yourself.
you are literally poisoning yourself to death. All right, here's Dr. Seneff.
These are liver cancer cells that they exposed to the RNA to make the spike protein. And they, within 6 hours, they had converted the RNA into DNA. And this is something I'm very fascinated by, and I've been doing a lot of research lately on something called polymerase theta. And polymerase theta is expressed in cancer cells. And polymerase theta is a repair enzyme. It works to repair DNA injuries. And in fact, there's other papers that are coming out now that even further support this idea, which is that there's some fascinating papers. I've found at least 3 papers from some 20 authors collaborating in China, Beijing, China, on the exposing the spike protein, you know, basically the vaccine, exposing it to 5 cells in the lungs. And those cells end up forming what's called syncytia. These cells end up, several cells merging into one giant cell and collaborating, blending all their nuclei together and spitting out micronuclei, which are evidence of severe DNA damage. So they showed that the spike protein by itself causes these cells to create this giant cell. and to have severe DNA damage, and to release inflammatory agents that are going to cause a lot of damage to surrounding cells, and they become what's called senescent. They reach a stage of senescence, which is really, really interesting, because senescence is a stage that cells are in when they refuse to multiply anymore. They stop reproducing, but they don't die. And they continue to live, and in living, they release inflammatory agents. So they cause a situation of chronic inflammation in this senescent state. And they're induced into the senescent state by the spike protein because they suffer from so much DNA damage, they don't dare reproduce anymore. And that is a very dangerous place to be. So I've been looking at all kinds of research on senescence and senescent, neurons in the brain, senescent cells, in the body, in the tissues, senescent immune cells that become incompetent, immune incompetent. So I'm predicting that all the cells that are that tend to multiply a lot, and that includes cancer, it includes these fibroblasts, it includes all the immune cells, they multiply. They make new copies of themselves. They're very susceptible to DNA damage, especially when they're exposed to that spike protein.
Okay. If you're around people who have been injected and they are exhaling, coughing, touching you, I know this sounds science fiction, but they are spreading spike protein. We call it getting spiked. And we read story after story from the real world about real people who are being spiked and who end up terribly sick from as little as a hug, from as little as simply being around somebody for 20 minutes or a half an hour in the same room. This is exhalation, aerosolization, transmission. You can't shake hands with anybody anymore. Forget it. Don't do it.
Yep.
You don't need to. You have to protect yourself. And you have to help those who have been injected be as healthy as they can be for as long as they can be by not dosing them. So as barbaric as it sounds, I will repeat, the only real approach is to try to segregate yourself from the opposite vax status individuals.
Yep. I mean, at some point, many of these people have developed such a sensitivity to the vaxxed, I'm talking unvaxxed now, that they can't. They literally can't. They have to modify their lifestyle to basically self-isolate and have minimal contact with the outside world. I mean, you know, it seems extreme, but I can cite several examples of that. I mean, these people are miserable now. I mean, there's this one woman that carries a tube of ivermectin in her purse at all times if she has to go out.
Well, we want to remind people, please don't, we don't think it's wise to use ivermectin in a prophylactic protocol.
Yeah,
use it when
I would
need
be
it.
Cautious. You know, that I would consider the big guns, you know, save it for when you really need it.
Right. Okay. All right, we've got some things we can read here real quick, or is there something else? O'Keefe, we need to do that?
No. Let's go to the readers.
Okay. All right, we've got smells. We've got CJD.
Your choice.
Well, considering the fact that spike proteins are spread and are notorious to cause prion proteins to misfold and others, and that they can go into the brain and start killing people, and quickly, some of these stories are like a month or two, and they're dead.
Know.
Now, CJD has been around forever, but in normal circumstances, it seems to take years, 2-3 years, 4 years. All right,
well,
number one.
By the time it's diagnosed, yeah. it can be
That's
as fast as 6 weeks.
Yeah,
but what's the triggering event? The triggering event is likely maybe 10 years prior.
Got it. All right, go ahead with number one.
Okay.
Number one
all right,
and number
this was,
two.
This was a rather bold post for Facebook. Somebody in a CJD support group asks, can you please post if your loved one had the COVID vaccine or booster shot, as well as their age and general location? Yes, I know there is a post on here that asks details about your loved ones, but not many are commenting if their loved one started showing symptoms shortly after the COVID vaccine or boosters. My sister had a bad reaction to the shot and died 5 months later from CJD.
See?
I'm surprised this lasted 24 hours because, you know, Facebook generally deletes these things and slaps the person that wrote it. First response, my father got the Pfizer vaccine when it came out that following summer. He passed from CJD. Even his surgeon said the vaccine played a part in igniting the CJD, but any time I bring it up, I'm muffled and my comment is deleted.
Go ahead with number two. Sorry. Right.
Okay. Another person says, my father got sick right after he got his.
We assume with CJD as well.
Right, yep. And this is interesting. Someone says, I'm in the funeral business myself and have been for 9 years total as a funeral director apprentice and funeral attendant. And yes, I've heard doctors, the director, embalmers, and healthcare workers say the same, but they won't say it publicly. But I do have a doctor you can talk to. He almost lost his license due to speaking out.
All right, and the next add-on to that says, you can't talk about the vaccine on here, meaning Facebook, because they'll delete your comments and report you for bullying. And the response to that is, exactly. Next comment, my neighbors own a family funeral home for over 50 years. In those 50 years, they had two cases of CJD, or mad cow, or TSE, whatever you want to call it. This year alone, four in our area, including my father. Yes, it has something to do with it. It meaning the shots. Another ad on, I'm not saying the vaccine is causing it. I'm just looking for information. Someone added to that, my father got the Johnson & Johnson. A comment to that, I definitely think there is something to do with the vaccines triggering something. I don't know how, when. I know that any time it's brought up, I'm immediately shut down. Yes, me too, says another person. Okay, number five.
Okay, this woman was from Italy, so this is a translation. My brother, 60 years old, second dose of Pfizer, after 1 month, on the 21st of December last year, diagnosis of Creutzfeldt-Jakob. And by January 19 of 2022, he was dead. He was athletic. He had no existing pathology. He was a coach. I still ain't got my piece.
All right, now this comment is a little suspect. Isn't this the one? Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even bother with that. That looked like a shield.
Okay. All right. I think this is the same guy, though. Anyway,
this is in response to what he said. This was a guy that was denying that there's any increase in any of these neurodegenerative. You know, nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with any. Don't stop here, folks. Keep moving. In my opinion, I believe it is dormant in some people and is triggered by the prions in the vaccine. That means it's not going to give it to everyone who takes the vaccine, but the disease used to be one in a million. There were two who died from it within a month in the same hospital. My sister died in. She apparently had it too, or maybe she had something else, but the same hospital she died in. Just gathering information, that's all. Okay, hit the last one.
All right. My stepmom, 60, received the J&J in June and started showing signs in July. Finally was diagnosed late February and passed away in late May. She was perfectly healthy before June.
See, this is it's coming on so fast, and whatever natural immunological function you may be able to present to try to slow CJD down, if that's even possible, is obviously gone. The speed with which these things are overwhelming people, and they're just gone. If you've ever been around someone with dementia, just put that in high gear, and that's you've got what we're talking about here. These people are just winding down so fast.
You know, and really, it's not an issue of the immune function. This is protein derangement. I mean, you're producing foreign proteins in huge amounts, proteins that are toxic, that are causing your own proteins to misfold, and just overwhelming the body's capability of dealing with aberrant proteins. So they accumulate this is bad all the way around.
Go back to Dr. Chetty, one of the first things we played on this program when we started it. Long time ago,
yep.
It was Dr. Chetty, South Africa. He said the spike protein is the most deadly, I forget what he said, evil thing that mankind has ever created, or humankind.
Yeah.
And he knew even then, and I wonder how much more he has figured out since then about how many different ways this has to destroy people. It really is. It's frightful. So again, for you vaxxed, try to stay away from those who are unvaxxed, just out of self-protection, because you've got no immune system, many of you. And the unvaxxed, you know, stay away from the vaxxed, because they're going to be carrying a lot of stuff, and you don't need it. And you're going to pick up spike protein, which could be the beginning of a fatal cascade in your own body. We don't know yet. We're watching. We do know people have become very sick simply by being around someone who has been vaccinated with this bioweapon horror. Okay, that's it for this edition. Eric and I will be back in day after tomorrow, Wednesday. Thank you. A lot of good information there for people.
Okay, Jeff. Have a good evening, everyone.
Okay. We'll be right back with Hour 3. Hang on.